Shall we pray? Father, we bless you and thank you that you have called us, O God, to be ministers of the new covenant, Lord. A covenant that you are writing into each one of our hearts. A covenant, O God, that you mean, O God, to fashion out of your word by the Holy Spirit in the fullness of Jesus Christ. A covenant fashioned into a heart of flesh that is of the flesh of the Lamb. And lo and behold, O God, we have an eternal purpose. We are called, O God, to be servants of the new covenant, and we are called to serve the living God. We are called, O God, to do that which will truly be a blessing to others, Lord. We are called to give the life that comes from you to others, Lord, by speaking your word with clarity, by praying your word with clarity, by declaring your word with clarity, by prophesying your word with clarity, by speaking, O God, as the oracles of God, Father. For you are building in us a witness that will communicate your word by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus, so that it will go forth like a fire. And it will go forth, O God, to break every stronghold of the enemy, to penetrate every kind of darkness. For there is no force in the universe that can stand before the word of the living God. And we are the instruments of that word. We are the instruments of that word by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. And as you teach us, as you fashion us, as you form us, as you build a witness that is true and faithful within us, as you teach us how to function in the power of the resurrection of the Lord, of the Lamb, Father, we thank you, Lord, that you mean to use us mightily. You mean to unveil us, O God, in the glory of your grace. So bless us, O God, and anoint us even as we hear your word. Create in us, O God, a passion to know and understand your ways. Teach us, O God, to have a passion to be a blessing in and by and through the name of Jesus. Teach us how to function by the Holy Spirit so that what we do will have, O God, the results that you have purposed, O God, in your word. So come alive in us, Lord. Come alive in us and enable us, O God, to truly function, O God, as your chosen instruments. Bless us, O God, with a clean heart. Bless us, O God, with a pure heart. Fashion and form inside of us a heart that will know you, a heart that will love you, a heart that will be able to receive of you, a heart that will always be teachable, a heart that will be able to receive from you, a heart that will be able, O God, to hold on, O God, to all that is good and true, Father. A heart that will be able to discern between right and wrong, a heart that will be able to release, O God, in your mighty name, O God, the beauty, O God, of your living word through the Spirit and life of Jesus by the Holy Spirit, Lord. We pray that you will bless us so that we will be a blessing on the face of the earth, that we will be a blessing in the heavenly places. We ask you, O God, to create us. We ask you, O God, to fashion us. We ask you, O God, to make us, O God, all that you want us to be. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. First Peter Chapter 4. First Peter. Chapter 4. Verse 10 and 11. First Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. So we have been teaching that God is building a witness within us so that we can all become oracles of God. That is our purpose. For the word of God is in our mouth and in our heart, so that we can proclaim the oracles of God. So God has designed each one of us to have a witness within us that will speak God's word spontaneously by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus, even as we know that we stand before God our Father. Today we want to talk about the second half of that verse. Let him do it as with the ability which God supplies. God supplies us with an ability. That ability is very crucial to what we become and what we do. It is very important that we understand that ability is supplied by God. That the ability that God wants us to have in its totality is meant to be supplied by Him. That's how God has designed us to be, entirely living off Him. Entirely living by His provision. Entirely living by what He has given us and what He is developing in us, so that we will truly be living witnesses of God's grace and mercy, God's abundant loving kindness, His truth, His compassions, His great love, the truth that will set people free. We have a great purpose. And as we look at moving into ministry, as we look at what God has designed us to be, God has designed us to be awesome vessels of His glory. So we must learn and understand that the ability that God supplies is what is going to enable us to minister in the new covenant that God is fashioning and forming within us. Remember that that covenant is the workmanship of God, written by the finger of God, that the tablets of our heart are meant to be the workmanship of God. We've done all that, all right? So this ability that God supplies, what does it mean? It means that there are giftings that God has given us, there are giftings that God is going to give us, and there are anointings that God is going to release to us. And the anointings will enable us to operate the giftings in the manner in which God has chosen that we will operate those giftings in. But over and above that, our giftings and our anointings are framed in the character and nature that we exercise. Because every gifting and anointing goes with the character and nature of the instrument that we are each called to be. So our ability consists fundamentally of three things. Our ability consists of our nature or our character. We will lump that up as one. Our ability consists of the giftings that God has given us, or the gift mix that God has given us, or the gift mix that God is going to develop in us. And our ability consists of the anointing that God wants to build into us. Three things. Without the right character and the right nature, we will make a mess of the giftings and anointings of God, even as Lucifer made a mess of them. So it's very crucial for you to understand that functioning in the giftings and the anointings do not stand in a vacuum. They stand together with your nature and your character. So it is all so very important that you understand that that nature and that character comes through conformance to Christ. That's why God sent His Son. God could have released anointings and He could have released giftings without the Son. But He chose to manifest those giftings and those anointings through the witness and testimony of the Son, so that those giftings and those anointings will be made manifest in us through conformance to Jesus Christ. So that we will have the nature and character of Jesus that use those anointings and those giftings that God demonstrated through His life in the right way for God's glory. So everything is packaged in Jesus Christ, and everything must be unveiled in the name of Jesus. And in order to do that, it is the Holy Spirit who has to manifest that into us. All right? So now let's look at Proverbs chapter 9. Verse 1. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 1. Each one of us is a house that God is building. And Proverbs chapter 9, verse 1 reads as follows. I'm reading from the New American Standard. Wisdom has built a house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. Wisdom has built a house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. We are the house of Christ, all right? Let's keep your finger on Proverbs chapter 9, verse 1. If you cross-reference to Hebrews chapter 3, you will come up with a familiar passage of scripture, verse 5 and 6. Now Moses was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken later. But Christ was faithful as a son over his house, whose house we are. So wisdom is building a house, and that house is the house of Christ, and we are the house of Christ. Christ means the anointed one. The anointed one comes with a peculiar nature and a character. He comes with a witness and a testimony. And his witness and his testimony, his character and his nature are meant to make this house into a functioning house. And all of us are meant to be a functioning house in the image and fullness of Jesus Christ. So Paul writes in Galatians chapter 4 verse 19, I labor with you until Christ is formed in you. Christ is formed in you. Here in the book of Proverbs chapter 9 verse 1, the Holy Spirit, functioning through the attribute of wisdom, says that wisdom has built a house. And the Holy Spirit is here to build the house of Christ. So in the Father's will, the house has been built. John chapter 1 verse 16 says, of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. So in the Father's will, this house has been built. It has to be manifested into each one of us. And the Holy Spirit is here through wisdom to bring out that house that God has designed each one of us to build, to each one of us to be. And this house is hewn out of seven pillars. Seven represents perfection. Seven represents the process of being perfected. So this house of seven pillars is meant to be perfected through Christ. Christ is the perfect one. Let me explain this to you from the New Testament. If you turn to Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 13. And he gave some, he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. That's the fivefold ministry. For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. The saints is all of us. The body of Christ. For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ, or for the building of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man. To a perfect man. One body called a perfect man. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So that's what the ministry is building. Ultimately, the ministry has the goal of building this house as a perfect man. That is what God has ordained each one of us to be. Now, this stands in God's will. This stands in God's faith. This stands in God's ability. That's why the ministry is based on the ability that God supplies and not the ability which man supplies. This is very important. When you minister, you must minister with the ability which God supplies. And you must know the difference between what is your ability inherent to yourself and the ability that comes from God. You must know the difference, and you must function in the ability that comes from God. You have to learn that. It is so important, because you cannot battle in the flesh. Our human experience tells us that everything that is done in human flesh dies. Hello? You can't go back 20 years and do those things that you did 20 years ago. They are dead and gone. They are finished. Why are they finished? Because they were entirely in the flesh. The flesh dies. So in the same way, you must understand that God has to supply it.
through you His ability, so that that which is manifested by Him will also be sustained by Him, and it will be something that will stand in the abiding. Because only that which is of God can abide. Only that which is of God can stand across space and time. Only that which is of God can be eternal. So right off the bat, God is telling you, the ability that you manifest in ministry has to be supplied by God, or all that you do in your ministry, which may seem to be very real in the flesh, will die. We are not building something for 5 years or 10 years or 50 years. We are building something that is going to stand forever. All of us sitting here are going to stand forever. This house that God is building is an eternal house. This house that God is building, this ministry that God is building into you and through you, is going to stand forever. It's going to grow forever. It's going to be something that God is going to perfect, so that it will be manifested in the way in which He has chosen you to be from the foundations of the world. As you grow in your ministry, you will begin to discover what God has designed you to be. And it's going to be something that is part of the mystery of His creation of you. But it's going to be something that is going to be conformed to Christ Jesus. So that is the pattern God has told you. Now how exactly you will turn out, or I will turn out, we don't know. But the ability has to be of what God supplies. So God will perfect that house in the seven pillars. And those seven pillars are the seven pillars of the anointing. And the seven pillars of the anointing are meant to be perfected and completed in the nature and character of Jesus Christ. Listening? In the nature and character of Jesus Christ. Because Lucifer has already shown that anointings for anointing's sake doesn't do anything for anybody. Everything that God anointed Lucifer with has become a living curse. It has become a force of destruction. It has become something that has taken the lives of so many, it has robbed so many of their destiny. So this house that wisdom builds is a house that God is going to manifest in conformance to Christ Jesus. It must be so, brethren. There are no qualifications. There's no such thing as when we go to heaven, then we will talk about perfection. When the seed of Christ was planted in us and we were born again, perfection was planted inside of us. It was a seed. And that seed is growing. And everything that comes out of that seed as it exists in us right now, it is perfect. The trouble is, it exists in the midst of so much of imperfection that we carry in our flesh. But the work that God has begun, it will be completed. It will be manifested in a house that will be entirely God's creation. So Ephesians 2:10 says, you are the workmanship of God, created in Christ Jesus for the good works He has ordained beforehand. Listen to that. You are the workmanship of God, created in Christ Jesus. Created in Christ Jesus. Created in Christ Jesus. So God is building that house. And that house has got the anointings that God wants to perfect that house in. That anointing is going to be perfected in the character and nature of Jesus Christ. So you cannot function in the anointing divorced from the nature and character of Jesus. You must pursue that. It has to go hand in hand. There are two kinds of anointings. The anointing that is manifested within you, which is why he says Christ is formed in you. So the anointing that is formed inside of you is called the inward anointing. And the house is built in that inward anointing. And that inward anointing is perfected in the character and nature of Jesus. It is perfected in the testimony of Jesus. The testimony of Jesus, Revelation 19:10c says, right, that The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Spirit means anointing. The anointing that brings the fulfillment inside of us, the prophetic. The word of God is designed to manifest that anointing. So the Rhema word of God is spirit and life. Whose spirit? The spirit of Jesus Christ. And that spirit of Jesus Christ is meant to be perfected into us, into seven pillars that represent our ability to do all things through Christ who strengthens us. All things. The anointing is designed to enable you to do all things in the name of Jesus Christ. You must understand this design as you go into your ministry. So that when you do the wrong thing, you will turn to the Lord and address that wrong thing then and there. That you will address your flaws and your character flaws then and there. You can't address your character flaws 20 years after you have gone into the ministry. They would have become so ingrained inside of you, they will destroy your ministry. So if you have a weakness for the opposite sex, you need to address it at its infant stage. Don't think you can address it 20 years from now. Don't think it will magically disappear. It will not. And the only solution for such a weakness is that you receive and realize the character and nature of Jesus Christ. You need to understand that right off the bat. Don't think that I just need to know how to flow by the anointing. I just need to know how to function. It's more than that, brother. It involves a nature and a character. So you need to ensure that the anointing that you flow into is of the character and nature that is of Jesus Christ. And you need to address that right now, even as you grow in the Lord. Even as you grow in the Lord, okay? So what does God give us through the inward anointing? God gives us many things through the inward anointing. I shall just introduce a few, okay? Let's look at Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The him there is Jesus Christ. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. So there are six attributes of the anointing described here. Wisdom, understanding, counsel, might or strength, knowledge, the fear of the Lord. Six different kinds of anointings. These anointings are meant to be fashioned and formed inside of you. So if you look at those anointings, you will find that God has designed the anointing to enable you to do all things through Christ who strengthens you. It's got nothing to do with your IQ or your EQ or whatever Q. God has designed the anointing to teach you. God has designed the anointing to teach you. Let's cross-reference again. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2 verse 20. 1 John chapter 2 verse 20. But you have an anointing from the Holy One and you all know. So what is the Lord trying to tell us here? If you receive the anointing, you will know things that you don't know right now. And the reason why you will know those things is because the anointing comes with wisdom, it comes with understanding, it comes with knowledge, it comes with, right? It comes with strength, it comes with the fear of the Lord, and you can know things the right way. Provided that anointing is of the Spirit of Christ. Provided that anointing is of the Spirit of Christ. So you can receive an anointing of wisdom, and if your focus is on the Lord Jesus Christ, then that anointing of wisdom will grow in the stature of Jesus Christ. Are you with me? It will be conformed to the witness and testimony of Jesus. But if you receive an anointing of wisdom and you choose to develop it in your own whims and fancies, then that spirit of wisdom will grow into the wisdom that will open the doors of the occult. So this is serious business. And if you open the doors of the occult, you will end up like Lucifer, who thought that he could become like the Most High God. It was a total deception. Although Lucifer had great faith, the deception of his own mind led all that God gave him that was good to become corrupt. It's very important that you understand that, all right? Let's look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. And as for you, the anointing which you receive from him abides in you. From whom do you receive the anointing? From Jesus Christ. Abides in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you abide in him. For that anointing to grow the right way, you abide in him. That anointing is the means by which God is going to teach you. In module 2 of this series, we talked about being taught by God. You are taught by God through the anointing that he gives you in the name of Jesus Christ. It is not, you don't learn things in the kingdom of God through the intellect that you have developed in the world system. You learn things in the kingdom of God through the anointing that God supplies you. It's very important to understand that. The Spirit of Christ is part of what is called the mystery of Christ. And that's a totally different learning process. It's a spiritual learning process. God taught me the Word of God through tongues. Because when you speak in a tongue, you speak in the mysteries of God. And the mysteries of God are open to you through the mystery of Christ. And Christ releases the right spirit inside of you. The right spirit is entirely of Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That right spirit is of Christ and Christ alone. You can't find the right spirit anywhere else. I will repeat that. You can't find the right spirit anywhere else. You cannot find the right spirit because you think you have got good intentions in your heart. Your good intentions and my good intentions will not produce the right spirit. It has to be entirely received from Christ. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. I was teaching in a slum church in India. And the Lord told me to tell the people there, because many of them couldn't read and write. He said, ask them to pray in tongues and I will teach them the word. Ask them to hear the word, listen to the word, pray in tongues, and I will teach them the word supernaturally. How did Peter become an apostle? Who taught him? How did John become an apostle? These guys were fishermen. They were not scholars. They were not men taught with great and deep understanding of things. They were just simple men who only knew how to catch fish. Yet God taught them. Books of the Bible were written by them. So we need to understand that the anointing who teaches, that teaches you. If you're going to be taught by God, the anointing that teaches you is of Christ. You all have an anointing from the Holy One, and in principle God is telling you, you all can know things. Alright, let's come back to Isaiah chapter 11 verse 2. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. Wisdom is the application. Understanding is when you can put knowledge and make sense out of knowledge. That's understanding. The spirit of counsel, that you can hear and understand what God is saying. Spirit of strength, the ability to do all things through Christ who strengthens you. The spirit of knowledge, the reality of knowing something. The spirit of the fear of the Lord, the ability to fear God. Now all these are big words. We can do a lot of teaching on each one of these words. But I don't intend to do that right now. I'm just going to tell you what the anointing that is going to be built inside of you is going to be based on. So God takes these elements of the anointing and He builds you inside. He perfects you in those elements of wisdom, knowledge, understanding, strength, counsel, and the fear of the Lord. He builds you in those things and He makes you into the functioning vessel that He wants you to be. You are a temple that God is building. The New Testament says that over and over and over again. Within you, God wants to manifest His presence. Within you, God wants to reveal His name. Within you, God wants to communicate His witness and His testimony. And through you, He wants to communicate His witness and His testimony. You are designed for that. That's God's highest purpose with you. And the anointing is designed to teach you to take hold of that position. To receive and realize that position. That position has to be 100% taught to you. It is not of the intellect of man. It is of the heart of God. You listening? All right. If God supplies you the wisdom, the knowledge, and the understanding, what is not possible to you? If God is willing to supply you with the strength, what is it that you can't do? If God is willing to supply you, right, with the fear of the Lord, why will you not stand where God wants you to stand? So all things are possible through Christ who strengthens us. Praise the Lord. Do you understand that? And God will teach you that through the anointing. In order to enable you to function in that anointing the right way, God will also perfect that anointing together with the nature of Jesus. Are you with me? So the fruit of the Holy Spirit are the work of the Holy Spirit in manifesting the nature of Jesus inside of you. So love, peace, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control are meant to be channeled through wisdom. Hello, how do you like that? How would you like a wisdom that is able to love? A wisdom that does not manipulate people, as you see it in the world. Smart people who are wise, right? So often manipulate others to get ahead. But what if you have a wisdom that manifests in the love of God? What if you have a wisdom that is full of the joy of the Lord, full of the peace of the Lord, full of the kindness of the Lord, full of the goodness of the Lord, full of the faithfulness of God? How do you like a wisdom that cannot do wrong because it is strong in the self-control that God has supplied? Powerful, isn't it? Can you be perfect? Absolutely, yes. It will take time, but God is prepared to work with you. How would you like a knowledge like that, that functions through love, peace, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control? Powerful. So what does love, peace, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control represent? The nature of Jesus Christ that the Holy Spirit is charged with working into you. Correct? So if the Holy Spirit is charged with working that inside of you, you only have to respond to the Lord. He will do the work inside of you. But you must respond. You must respond by wanting to be in the image and fullness of Jesus Christ. That is the key. As you develop your ministry, you must want your ministry to be fashioned in the image and fullness of Jesus Christ, not in your image. And the Holy Spirit will work that because that's why He has been sent. John 16 verse 13, Jesus said the Holy Spirit, when He comes, He's going to be the Spirit of truth and He will lead you into all truth. John 16 verse 14, Jesus said, He will take of mine and He will disclose it to you. John 16 verse 15, Jesus said, All that the Father has is mine, and He, the Holy Spirit, will take it and He will manifest it to you. So the Holy Spirit is entirely charged with revealing Jesus Christ to you. The work of the Holy Spirit does not deviate from that, because Jesus said, All that the Father has is mine. If all that the Father has belongs to Jesus Christ, then all that the Holy Spirit reveals comes out of Jesus Christ. And so if we listen to the doctrines of our Eastern Orthodox brethren, they will say, all things proceed from the Father through the Son by the Spirit. The Spirit proceeds from the Father through the Son. That's right. And everything that the Holy Spirit does stands in the name of Jesus. Powerful. Praise the Lord. So the anointing will teach you. The anointing will teach you. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 11 and 12. God says, I will perform my word, right? I am watching over my word to perform it. Right? You're familiar with that verse. Jeremiah sees a vision. God says, what do you see, Jeremiah? He says, I see the rod of an almond tree. And God says, I'm watching over my word to perform it. What is God going to do with that word? He's going to release the spirit and life of Jesus through that word. He's going to use that word to give expression to the spirit and life of Jesus. Now, the spirit dimension of Christ is going to be the anointing. And as you pray in tongues, you can energize these things by the Holy Spirit into your being, provided you want to be conformed to Christ Jesus. That is something you must have in your heart. Praise the Lord. Do you want to function like Jesus Christ? Would you like to speak like Him? Would you like to do things like Him? That is God's blueprint for you and me. But you have to choose in your own free will to respond to that plan. It is not going to happen magically. So if you confess Jesus Christ as Lord, you shall be saved. That has got many deep implications, because confessing Jesus Christ as Lord has got many dimensions to it, and you can keep on doing it in all eternity. And every time you do it, God manifests something of Jesus inside of you, something of His Lordship inside of you that will bring change and transformation into your being. Because God has designed you to be in the image and fullness of Jesus Christ. God has designed you to be a perfect man in the image and fullness of Jesus Christ. The work will be done by the Holy Spirit, but you have to supply the desire. If you don't have the desire, you ask for the desire. And God will supply you with the desire too. Right? Praise the Lord. So what else do we have in this Spirit of Christ? Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah chapter 66. Let's read that for context from verse 1. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build me? Are you listening? Where is the house that you will build me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things my hand has made, and all those things exist, says the Lord. But on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit. The New American Standard translates it as humble. On him who is humble and of a contrite spirit and who trembles at my word. That's what God is looking for, because those are the people whom God is going to use as the building blocks of his great temple. So the spirit of humility, the spirit of contriteness is part and parcel of the anointing that we received in Jesus Christ. Spirit of humility. Spirit of contriteness. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. If you and I are going to inherit what God has for us, then we must be meek. And both humility and contriteness describe meekness. So the anointing of the Spirit of Christ, Jesus Christ was meek. But it doesn't mean he was weak. He was not weak. You must know the difference. Meekness doesn't mean weakness. Jesus Christ was meek, but he was no weakling. He was strong, the lion and the lamb. So we must understand that meekness is not weakness. That meekness is a strength that stands in the witness and testimony of Jesus. So we are meant to also have a spirit that is humble and contrite. Again, that is supplied to you. So we are not going to be having wisdom, knowledge, and understanding that God gives, and we are not going to strut around like peacocks. So one day when you are standing in frontline ministry or something and seeing things happen supernaturally, don't strut around like a peacock, because your anointing is not meant to make you a peacock. Your anointing is meant to make you a servant of the new covenant, or a minister of the new covenant. And a minister of the new covenant is always humble and contrite of spirit. That is part of the anointing. So if you are a proud and self-centered, and you know, you start, watch yourself when you start talking about yourself, and soon your whole ministry becomes about yourself. You are given something of the ministry of Jesus Christ to proclaim. You are meant to proclaim the name of Jesus. You are not there to proclaim your name. You don't have to market your name. And forever, in the way that God wants you to stand. Lucifer developed the spirit of pride and self-righteousness. Ultimately, that spirit of pride and that spirit of self-righteousness became a spirit of rebellion. Ultimately, that spirit of rebellion became a spirit of disobedience, vindictiveness, hatred. So you and I have to watch it. So always understand, if you're building from the anointing on the inside, that anointing on the inside will always be manifested in humility and contriteness. So deal with your pride. Deal with your self-righteousness. It's very easy to deal with these things. Just identify, take it to the Lord and address it. And keep on addressing it as the Lord works into you new things. Every periodically just come before God and just revisit those things that you know are working inside of you. Illusions of your own grandeur, you know, whatever they may be. We all have our own peculiar ways. You have it, I have it too. But we have to deal with it. And ask God to clothe us with the spirit of humility and contriteness. Because it's very important that we clothe ourselves with the spirit of humility and contriteness, because otherwise you will not stand. The clothing of our salvation must manifest with the spirit of humility and contriteness. That is crucial to us identifying with Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Let's look at another aspect of the anointing. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 13. Second Corinthians chapter 4 verse 13. And here we see it mentioned, and since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak. So the spirit of faith is also another attribute of the anointing. It's very interesting that Jesus Christ is called the author and the finisher of your faith. And he authors and finishes your faith with the spirit of his faith. Amen. That's why the Bible says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Christ strengthens you with his spirit, and one of the attributes of his spirit is faith, strength. Are you listening? Right? So all things are possible through Christ who strengthens me.
One last scripture.
Different types of the anointing that God uses in order to perfect us. And it's powerful. So nothing will be impossible to you. I want you to understand it is through the anointing that you grow. You're not going to become a man of God by trying harder in your flesh. For heaven's sake, get that straight. You are not going to become a vessel of the Lord by trying harder in your flesh. You will not make the grade in a million years. It has to be the work of God, because only God knows what sort of a person is a man of God. It is his covenant. If you are going to be a minister of his new covenant, only he understands what you should look like, how you should speak, how you should think, how you should behave, what should be your nature, what should be your character. And it's so crucial for you to understand that you are meant to be created by God. Only God creates. Now, we may use the word create very loosely, but to create means to bring something out of nothing. God is your creator, God is your maker. Yahweh Elohim is Lord our creator, Yahweh Hoshenu is the Lord our maker. God, our creator, makes something out of nothing. God, our maker, takes that something and perfects it and makes it something that he once made. Praise the Lord. So therefore, you will be a vessel of God if you are willing to allow God to work in you. It will happen. So don't rush around, what's my calling? It will come. It will come. The anointing will teach you. The anointing will teach you what God has purposed. You don't have to run around like a chicken with your head chopped off. Running from prophet to prophet to tell you. You cannot move into your calling until it manifests right here. The prophet can prophesy, but you don't move until it is here. Yeah? Otherwise you're going to be in trouble. So important for us to understand. The anointing will teach us all things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Through Christ who strengthens you, you will be strengthened with the anointing, the spirit that comes from Christ. That is what is going to enable you to do all things through Christ who strengthens you. All right? Praise the Lord. And now I want to go to the nature part of it, okay? Let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. Peter wrote this just before he was executed. So this is a very important witness or testament of the apostle. Verse 1, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ. Who made him a bondservant? Where do you think he received that spirit that made him a bondservant? He received it from Jesus, because Jesus came as a servant. If you go back to the book of Isaiah, you will find that God talks about his servant. And who do you think was his servant? The Messiah. So that spirit was consecrated in Christ so that we can all become bondservants of the Lord. Praise the Lord. To those who have obtained like precious faith. Obtained like precious faith. You have obtained like precious faith. How did you obtain like precious faith? Because you obtained the same spirit of faith. Amen. So Peter is saying, I have received a faith, and you who are reading this have also received a like precious faith. By the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. What does that mean? By the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. God has done something, and he has manifested in us the same kind of faith. God did something that is his work, and he has manifested in each one of us that same spirit of faith. Praise the Lord. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his glory and virtue. If you look at the New American Standard, it will say, called us by his excellence. By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the what nature? The divine nature. So through the knowledge of Jesus Christ, you become partakers of the divine nature. It is not a struggle, guys. It's a rest. If you fix your eyes on Jesus, if you ask God to reveal Jesus to you, the revelation of Jesus will come with his nature and his character, the divine nature. And that divine nature, combined with the anointing that God perfected in Christ Jesus, will make you a perfect man and a woman of God. God's already designed it. You just have to walk in it. As long as you don't get illusions of your own grandeur, you will unveil the way God wants you to unveil. It is not difficult. I repeat that again and again and again. It is not difficult. Just keep your eyes on the Lord and don't trade Jesus for your own glory. If you've seen people fall in the ministry, it is always because they have traded Jesus for their own glory. It is not because they were not sufficiently anointed or God didn't love them. They chose to leave Jesus Christ and exchange him for their own glory. So if you are willing to confess that Jesus is Lord and do it every day, do it in every aspect of your ministry, you will continually be saved. And God's salvation will continue to manifest in you. Let's turn to Romans. All right? Romans chapter 10. What does it say? Verse 9. Let's read verse 8 first. What does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. Amen? Word of faith. What does the word of faith say? The word is in your mouth and in your heart. What is the first thing you confess? Verse 9 says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. If your ministry testifies that Jesus is your Lord, and if your ministry proclaims that everything happens in the ministry because of the power of the resurrection of the Lamb, God's salvation will continually work in you. You cannot fall. You cannot fall. You will be saved. He didn't say you may be saved. He said you will be saved. So this is not just leading someone into a sinner's prayer. We proclaim Jesus as Lord in everything that we do in ministry. When you counsel someone, what are you leading them to? Leading them to yourself or leading them to Jesus the Lord? That's what it means. When you are a worship leader, are you leading the congregation to function, to respond to your beautiful voice, or are you leading them to know the heart of God? That's what it means, guys. If you are a prophet and you are prophesying, are you leading people to hear the voice of God and respond to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, or are you drawing them to you so that you can become their soothsayer? That's what it means. If you are a prayer warrior, are you praying so that people will come into the kingdom of God and know the love of Jesus, or are you praying so that they will respond to you and your ministry? That's what it means. So if you keep on lifting up the name of Jesus, the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ will operate in you as well as through you into somebody else's life. As the conviction of the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ grows and grows inside of you, your position in the ministry will also automatically grow. You don't have to fight with anybody, compete with anybody. You don't have to go on a massive advertising campaign to make sure everyone knows your name. It will just come, just like that. You don't have to do anything, brother. Let the Lord build your ministry. Remember, the new covenant is the workmanship of God. The ministry of the new covenant is the workmanship of God. It is not the workmanship of man. So when we started in tape one, talking about that covenant being the workmanship of God, this is what it means. Let God make you a man of God. Let God make you a woman of God. Let God make you a prophet. Let God make you the worship leader. Let God make you the intercessor. And you will find out that when God does something, it is a wonderful work. So don't worry about the fact that you are struggling, right? The breakthroughs will come. It's already been designed in the Word of God that the breakthroughs will come. It has already been designed in the Word of God that you and I will become sons of God. It is already designed in the Word of God that we will be totally and completely and comprehensively saved so as to be perfect in the image and fullness of Jesus Christ. God has already ordained it in His Word. You and I just have to listen to it and receive it, and it will function in us. Because God is watching over His Word to perform it. Nothing will be impossible to you. Nothing will be impossible to you. So as you understand that your anointing is conformed to Christ, then the knowledge of Christ will enable that anointing to manifest in His nature and His character. And you will change. The pride will break. The self-righteousness will break. It will change. It will change, and you will be so grateful to God when He brings those changes inside of you. They will be real. They will be tangible. They will be the work of God. And brother, the work of God is unshakable. Because the work of God will be sustained by God. That's why it is unshakable. The work of God will be pursued by God. And it's wonderful to know that. To know that God will hold you, even when you shake, even when you flounder, that God will pick you up. Because He's loved you with an everlasting love. So always remember, for the anointing to grow, you respond to God in and by and through the name of Jesus. For the anointing to grow, you function by the Holy Spirit, and you always function by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Do that continuously. Tell the Father continuously every morning, Lord, Father God, I want to do all things in and by and through and for the name of Jesus and for nothing else. If there is anything else in my heart, oh God, remove it, break it, destroy it. You think God won't answer that prayer? 100% He'll answer that prayer. Oh Lord, if there is any chance that I may take the wrong path, then correct me. Correct me. Make sure that I do not deviate into something that will destroy me. Don't let me destroy myself. Brother, it's not about the devil. It's about you and me making the wrong choices. It is you and me pandering to our fleshly desires. That is the real danger. That is the real danger. So ask the Lord to protect you from your fleshly desires. And God will protect you. Who else can protect you? Protect me in my heart and in my mind. Protect me in my conscious, in my subconscious and my unconscious. In the hidden parts of me where there is all kinds of funny things happening, Lord, that I don't understand. Have you noticed how we sometimes do things and you can't say, why did I do that? So only God can set you free from things like that. You are a man of God. That means you are called by God. Therefore, He has undertaken to make you one. So function like that and don't try and substitute God with your own efforts. Now, the reason why we would like to substitute God with our efforts is because we would like to say, I did it my way. And we all have that desire. And that snake must be put to death. Ask God to do it. Ask God to enable you. Ask God to supply you with the faith that you don't have. Ask God to supply you with the character and nature of Jesus Christ. Work it into me, Lord. Create the desire. You know, Ezekiel chapter 36 verse 27 says, God says this, I will put my spirit within you and I will cause you to walk in my statutes. That's what it's all about. Cause me to become what I am not. Cause me to become what I have no desire to become. One of the first things I brought before God was this simple fact. Lord, you have done so many good things in my life, but I don't love you. Every time I come to you, I'm trying to grab something from you. I said, Lord, if I'm going to be anything before you, it has to be because I love you. So enable me to love you. Deal with my selfishness, my self-centeredness. Deal with my pride and my arrogance. Deal with it, Lord. Destroy it. Two years later, I was writing something and I just said, Lord, I love you. And I suddenly realized I meant it. So God had done something without even me understanding it. And that's what it's all about. And then you appreciate as you grow in the ministry that you are the workmanship of God. And that's something else. But if you are the workmanship of God, automatically even our convoluted minds will give the glory to God. So nothing will be impossible to you. Praise the Lord. So you've got hurts. Take it to the Lord. He knows how to deal with it. Let Him engineer the healing. But take it to Him. Every time you see that hurt block you from responding to something, block you from going into something, every time that hurt prevents you from going into something that you know you should be doing, take it to the Lord and ask the Lord to deal with it. And He will deal with it because He knows how to deal with these things. He is God, for heaven's sake. He knows things that you and I don't have a clue. He can do things that you and I can't even begin to do. That's what it's all about. We live by God. That's what we are called to discover. We minister that reality into the lives of others so that others will live by God and be set free from the law of sin and death. Praise the Lord. The anointings upon. The anointings upon are the sovereign work of God. And how God will manifest the anointings upon, there is an infinite variety of anointings that God will manifest from above. But the important thing is that you have the anointing within to be able to respond to what God is bringing forth from above. So ability that God supplies. The ability that God supplies comes sovereignly from Him, which is through the anointing upon. The ability that God supplies manifests from within you through the anointing that He works into your being and perfects through His nature being fashioned and formed inside of you. And that ability is you being able from inside to respond to what God is bringing from the outside. Praise the Lord. So that is the ability which God supplies. Now let's go back and read 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 11. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. What do you think he's going to speak from? He's going to speak from the ability that God has supplied on the inside. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies. That in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. So what's the end product of ministry? That God be glorified through Jesus Christ. Got that straight? Not that the church will be glorified. Not that your denomination will be glorified. That God will be glorified through Jesus Christ. Not that you and I will be glorified. But that God will be glorified through Jesus Christ. There is an ecstasy and a joy that comes with that. As you grow in your ministry, you will discover that. That is what makes life worth the living. That is the highest reward God can give you. The joy of serving the Lord. The joy of knowing that your life is worthwhile. The joy of knowing, the satisfaction of knowing that you've done something in and by and through God for His glory, and it feels good. It feels good, and that goodness does not pass away. It is not like the accolades of man. It feels good for a moment in time, and then nobody remembers it after some time. The memory fades, but this joy, it remains and it grows. It stirs you up. It motivates you. It propels you forward. It enables you to know the Lord your God, to know that you are of worth to Him, that you belong to Him, that you have a sense of belonging, you have a sense of destiny, that you know that what God has begun in you will always be, it will always grow. And it's going to be something awesome. It's an adventure. It is going to be like nothing that the world can supply. Nothing. And it will never end, guys. It will never end. It will grow forever and forever and forever. Hello, brothers. Welcome to ministry. Praise the Lord. Shall we pray? Father, we bless you for the opportunity to minister, Lord. And it's an awesome opportunity, Father, because you mean to develop something that is entirely of your stature. You actually mean to make us functioning sons of God, both male and female. You mean to enable us through anointings perfected in your character and your nature, worked into us by the Holy Spirit in the image and fullness of Jesus Christ. And then you mean to prepare us and make us to stand in positions so that you can manifest the anointing upon and show us, O God, the greatness of God. So that we will be able to, from the inward parts to flow with the greatness of our God and see supernatural effects come forth, Lord. See supernatural things being done. See supernatural things flow through as people see the glory of the Most High God. And this ministry is all about your greatness. And we are going to share, O God, in everything that you bring forth. We are going to be the vessels through which you are going to move. What an awesome reality, Lord. To be able to see things, O God, that we have never imagined, O God. Things entirely impossible to our own selves. And we will function in this all the time. That is something we can look forward to. We want to thank you. We want to bless you, Father, for the opportunity to grow, for the opportunity to learn how to minister, for the opportunity to start with small beginnings and understand that what you are building in each one of our lives will always be your best for us. You will never shortchange us, oh God, because you are our Father. And so we bless you and thank you for the gift of your Son. We bless you and thank you for the Holy Spirit, our helper. And by the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, nothing will be impossible to us, Lord. Because this anointing will be perfected in the character and nature of Jesus, so that we will do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And that is awesome and wonderful. That is going to be a new creation. And so, Father God, as we function as ministers, Lord, we are also going to realize the reality of becoming a new creation. And that is awesome and that is wonderful. That is beautiful, Father. We thank you for choosing us. We thank you for enabling us to hear your word. We thank you for enabling us to respond to you. We thank you for enabling us, oh God, to leave the shackles of our flesh, the shackles of the world that is passing away, and see, oh God, things, oh God, that are in the abiding and in the eternal. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you for giving us a sense of eternity, Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.